hours of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome to the show this evening, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Each and every night till 1 o'clock on the East Coast. No, 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we were out last night. We had some work to do today. And I gave our BSPs the background about two nights ago, but I'm going to be on another episode of New Girl. And at some point, I guess I have to just stop saying I'm going to be on New Girl, and maybe I'll be a regular cast member or a recurring guy, and it won't be such a big deal, but it is to me. And
yeah, it's because it's money.
Yeah, so it's money. Anyway, don't worry about it, man. Yeah. So that's what I was doing last night. But we're back here this evening, and a couple of things to let you know. First off, the archives of our Saturday night show and our Saturday night video, both video and audio, these are being built and are now on our website under the Fresh Fill tab. Look for KFI Show. That was our Los Angeles affiliate over which we did our Saturday night show until I couldn't physically take it anymore. But we'll see if we can't milk those for a few more years. That's one announcement. And then the other announcement I want to make is on Saturday night, for those of you who are anywhere near the area, I'll be at the Los Angeles Animation Festival. And this is to take part in a Q&A for the film Team America. And with me will be one of the just a terrific guy to work with, Darren Norris, who was Spotswood, the guy in Team America who was the number one puppet, if you will. You know the voice, Spotswood. Darren Norris is going to be there along with me. Some of the puppeteers from Team America will be there. And we'll do a little bit of a Q&A before the film. If you haven't seen Team America, I can't imagine that it would be just a crime, just a federal crime. Well, I'm just kidding. But it's a funny flick, man. I mean, you do yourself a favor. And if you're anywhere, like I say, in the area, come on out to the Los Angeles Animation Festival. It is running through Sunday, and we'll be there on Saturday night. Sorry to take up so much time here, but I thought it was important. And what time are we going to be there? I know it's starting. I know everything gets underway on Saturday around 11:30 in the morning. But check out their website, and we'll give it to you a little bit later on. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Don Parsley is going to join us from an organization called Coney Must Go. And let me tell you what this is about, and we're going to have Don on in a second to give us some background of his own. Last night, and actually sometime yesterday, the buzz started on the social networking sites, if you will, one of which was Twitter, about Coney 2012. People were hashtagging Coney or Coney 2012. And this hashtag has to do with a man by the name of Joseph Coney, who is a bush fighter, a so-called revolutionary leader, who has operated out of Sudan, Uganda, and a number of other places. He is wanted by the International Criminal Court. He is the leader of something called the Lord's Resistance Army, whatever the hell that is. But the crimes of this man are numerous, and the most outrageous, or at least perhaps the one that has really set off this trend happening on social media in the United States, Europe, and elsewhere, is the fact that this guy has he's kidnapped basically kids. He's kidnapped children and forced them into this army of his, this army of ragtag, hit-and-run gunmen, calling themselves some sort of a revolutionary army. And point of fact, what they are is they just go into villages, they kill, they steal, and they take off again. My understanding is they're no longer in force in Uganda, although they are in areas, these sort of no man's lands around Uganda and around some of the major cities in that part of Africa. Don Parsley joining us. Now, just before you say anything, Don, the film that really touched this all off is a film that is currently on YouTube. I don't know the name of it. And, Don, I'm sure you do.
I don't remember it, but it's quite a touching movie. There's no question about it.
Invisible Children.
Yes, sir. That's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Invisible Children, and it was a 50-minute film. And it was made by some American filmmakers who have been in Africa for the last 10 years and have actually done some amazing things, one of which is beyond just the basics of getting food and the normal necessities of life to a lot of these people. They have set up a radio warning system, some kind of a system whereby the people in the village are alerted by way of radio and other early warning detectors that these this Lord's Resistance Army is in the area and that they can begin to make some sort of preparation to defend themselves. You got to understand, this is a part of the world, I guess, Don, that the armies are not capable of doing anything.
Well, that's true, Phil. This part of Africa, they were at one time under the control of the European powers, you know, and when the colonial times of Europe and the countries that controlled that part of Africa, when those times came to an end, then the governments themselves and the people themselves had to mount their own military. These kinds of rebel forces are still a pretty tough nut to crack for them.
How long has this guy been operating?
I think about, I've heard that he's been around at least 20 years. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's been there for a long, long time. And he's been kidnapping kids. And what I want to do is I'd like to give out an address, if I could, where people can send us money to get this underway. What we want to do is we want to get enough money so we can get our people in place and do something about this guy, because I haven't heard, really, I've heard a lot of talk about this movie, and that's good. I haven't heard anybody say anything about what they want to do. But we do know what we want to do.
When you say do what? Get rid of him?
Yes, sir, get rid of him.
So are you talking about some kind of a mercenary military action?
I'm not prepared at this time to get into it. I don't want to. Certainly you understand that I don't want to say anything that is going to alert either this man Coney or his this band of thieves and cutthroats that he's been running with. But if I do that, then we certainly we're not going to have an opportunity to take care of this guy. So,
can you give us an idea of what it is?
I'm sure people understand that it's not anything I want to talk about.
But you have a plan.
We have a plan. And it's a plan to take him out.
All right. Now, you have an address. What is the name of your group?
This is just a financial arm of our efforts. Coney Must Go, Kony Must Go. The address is 12,012,000 Santa Susana Pass Road, Chatsworth, California.
And we're talking here with Don Parsley. With the Coney Must Go people. And I think that this is probably a difficult task from the standpoint of just getting everybody up to speed on who this guy is, do you think?
Well, it is, Phil, but, fortunately for Twitter and for YouTube and some of these other social media sites that you were talking about, people are now getting more and more and more and more aware of who he is, what he's done, and how they can we can mobilize them and get them to send their checks. And whatever they've got, we don't want anybody to send cash. You can send cash, but it's really better if you have a cashier's check or a regular check, or if you can send us, if you want to send cash, you can send bills. Don't send change.
Well, so it's a better. Do you have any credit card, PayPal?
No, we've not set up. One of the reasons why we're not doing PayPal is because they have a maintenance issue that's going to be happening midway through the month, and we're afraid that we won't be able to process orders. We're not going to do credit cards because that just allows for too much fraud. We want to make sure that people get the money right to where it needs to be. And what I want to stress with your listeners more than anything, Phil, is that there's been a lot of talk over the years about Coney. Now, with Twitter, people are talking about how he's, how evil this man is and how they need to get rid of him, and I agree. But I don't want to just be about talk. I don't want to just be about talking about how bad the guy is. I want to do something about him.
Well, you're talking here, if I may be so bold. We're talking with Don Parsley here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. about Joseph Kony, the head of the Lord's Resistance Army. This has become almost overnight an issue of the moment on Twitter and elsewhere, that this man who kidnaps children and forces them to fight in his army, you're talking about a guy that's going to need to be dealt with militarily.
I don't really want to discuss. I mean, I would agree with you, but I don't want to say specifically what we're going to do. We have a plan in place. What we need is the funding to get our people in place to make sure that you have the basics filled, which is not just the equipment that we may need, but we want to just be in place, have places to put our heads on a pillow for a night, and then commence our operation.
How long would this operation take?
That is something that, unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to say.
And you cannot say exactly what you're going to do?
At this time, I'm not at liberty, no, sir.
All right, we're going to come right back here with Don Parsley. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Mr. Parsley about Joseph Kony, leader of the Lord's Resistance Army. He is wanted by the International Criminal Court in The Hague. He is wanted for kidnapping children, forcing them into a conscript army of rebels. And right now, people in America and Europe, by virtue of this videotape we were talking about, have become very acutely hyper-aware of Joseph Kony and the need to do something about this man. 877-876-PHIL. More with Don Parsley and his organization. They plan on traveling to Africa and doing something about him. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. With me is Don Parsley. And Don is with a group called Kony Must Go. Speaking of Joseph Kony, the head of the Lord's Resistance Army, why must he go? Well, in your words, Don, the best reasons.
Well, in my words, he's a murderer, and he's just a murderer. And
well, I mean, he is forcing children, right?
That is correct as well. That is correct as well. He's forcing children into fighting in his. And I was thinking more in the general terms of what he does. And just generally, he's just a
Well, generally, he's a low life, but
yes. But the basic and you're right, Phil. The basic reason why we want to get rid of this guy is because he has been, as you said, Phil. Killing these kids, and
well, is he not? My understanding is from the video, he is kidnapping them.
He's kidnapping them, and many times he's killing them. He's kidnapping them and forcing them to fight in his resistance army. And
but is he? When you say he's killing them,
he's killing. He's doing everything. He's forcing them to fight. He's killing. I mean, we don't know. It's very unclear what's going on right now, but. But yes, and I think the other thing that you need to know, Phil, is because I know you've got a lot of women that are listening, a lot of women, you know, I mean, women listen to the radio just like men, but these are children who were taken from their mothers. Their mothers don't know where they are. I can't even imagine that, Phil. I'm the father of two boys myself, and if my boys were taken from me and I didn't know where they were, I would be beside myself. So that's why we are really hoping people can get behind our mission to kill the guy.
Well, I want to ask you something, Don, that I think would be important.
And to give the address, though, one more time, and I know you have a lot of questions, Phil.
Absolutely. 12,000 Santa Susana Pass Road?
Yes, sir, in Chatsworth, California.
Okay, my question is, when you go and you do what you're going to do, which is to take care of this guy, Kony, what do you have in place? What provisional plans do you have, if any, to get these kids, these children?
The children that are are which? Are the
children that are in this conscripted army, the children, you know...
Well, that goes without saying that we want to get them. I thought you meant there was some other children that we're not... We are aware of what he's done. We would have to go in there. And obviously, Phil, keep in mind that these children are part of this army that this man has amassed. So in order for us to get to him, we would have to go through some of these very children. Now, you know that these kids are now grown up. And
well, that's the tragedy of this. I saw the one boy that was interviewed. You just tore your guts out. He was talking about his brother who's dead, and this child was able to escape. But a lot of these kids were kidnapped and are now adults.
That is exactly right, Phil. They are adults, and they're, who knows, their parents might not even know them. And I don't want to say what it is we're going to do, but if, and I'm saying if, I'm not saying we will, I'm saying if we had something military in mind, and I come up against one of this guy's members of his army, this Lord's Resistance Army, and I've got to kill, I've got to neutralize an enemy asset, and it turns out to be a kid that was kidnapped many years ago, then I'm going to have to do that. And I know...
Well, so in other words, if you guys go in, and but I got to tell you, you don't want to tell me what it is, but if it is a military action that you're contemplating, it would be, number one, a mercenary action. You're not doing it under the aegis of any government, are you?
I cannot answer that question.
So you, in other words, you might be?
I can't answer that question.
Well, all right. So you're going to possibly engage in a force of arms, and some of the people that you encounter are members of this resistance army, and they may very well have been kidnapped children themselves. How do you? That's a tough one to square, isn't it?
It is, Phil. I'm thinking about it now, and it gives me, you know, I'm thinking about how. I would rather not do that. I'd rather not even have to do any military action. But I'll tell you this much, if it's either him or me, I got a newsflash for you and anybody listening. It's going to be me.
It's going to be you.
Meaning I'd be the one that would live. He'd be the one that would. If it's him or me, it's me living and him dying. And I don't want to do that. But if we can get donations tonight to our Coney Must Go Fund, and we can somehow get enough money where we can maybe have options. We wouldn't have to just do one thing. We could do two or three things, or at least contemplate two or three things.
Can you tell me what those other options might be?
I'm not at liberty at this time, no.
So besides a military option...
Well, again, Phil, I never did say we were going to do... No military.
No, I understand that, but I just wondered what these options were.
At this time, I'm not at liberty to say. I can only encourage people to, whatever they've got, if it's 5 cents, if it's 10 cents, I understand that we'd rather not just have change. So if you can put that in a money order, we'd appreciate it very, very much.
Don Parsley with us. We'll take your phone calls coming up at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 for Don Parsley. He's with Coney Must Go, one of many organizations that are trying to raise awareness about this man, Joseph Coney, and his criminal army, guerrilla force that has been plaguing the people of Central Africa, Uganda, and elsewhere for many years, abducting the children of the various villages, stealing children and taking them off. And God knows what happens to these kids. Eventually, they become members of this army, grow into manhood, and their parents sometimes never see them again. It's a terrible, sad, tragic story. And you mentioned you had two kids, Don?
I've got two sons, yes, sir.
I can't even...
If I ever do see my sons again...
Are your sons gone?
My sons are gone, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I did not know that.
My sons left home. They're not part of any rebel force, but obviously, but they did leave home to become, you know, bikers, this kind of nonsense. And so I think about them when I think about going to get these other kids.
All right, sir. Hold on the line. Hold on the line here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Don Parsley here, putting his money on the line to save the kids there from the Lord's Resistance Army in Africa. And we'll take your phone calls coming up next year in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That looks like Hollywood to me.
Yes, it is.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line here is Don Parsley from Coney Must Go, which is an organization collecting money to eventually fund some kind of an expedition. And I understand, Don, that you've got a security concern, and you have you want to make sure that you don't tip your hand as to what it is you and your organization have in mind. You have said that you want to go over there to Uganda or that area, and you want to take this man out. You've given me very little information, though.
I know that, Phil. And what I'm saying to you, what I'm saying to your listeners is people need to trust me. We're talking about children. We're talking about children that have been taken by this Coney, the man, this Joseph Coney. He has kidnapped and forced into a guerrilla army. Young children, underage, young boys, and in some instances, girls, too. And he's forced them to take up arms and to battle the civilized elements of society in Uganda. And that has to stop. And we aim to do that. And I understand that this video alerted people to this, but I'm doing something about it. I'm not just sitting around. And I don't mean anything against the people, you know.
Well, yeah, let's make sure that we're not putting down people that have been tweeting the, you know, the hashtag Coney 2012.
No, I don't mean to do that. But, Phil, the honest truth is I plan on doing something about it. And that is we're going to go to Africa and we're going to make sure this man doesn't hurt children. And I don't know how many people out in your listening audience tonight share my desire not to have children get hurt no more. Maybe people like to talk a good game. I've heard a lot of people talk about how they don't like seeing children getting hurt. But when it comes to putting their money where their mouth is, sometimes people just suddenly their beliefs, you know, come to the fore and you realize, well, maybe they aren't all that concerned about kids.
Well, you've given us you've told people that you want them to donate to your organization to help fund you so you can go after this man. But the specifics of this, for instance, where are you going? You know.
Yeah, I understand, Phil. I understand. But this is something where people need to trust. They're going to have to trust me on this. I can tell you that I've studied this problem, that I am I'd love to be able to give you my background.
Do you have military experience?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us where?
That I cannot tell you.
Can you tell me? All right. But obviously you say you have weapons experience?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, all right. 877-876-PHIL, but you can't give me any more information than that. So it's, when you say people need to trust.
People need to trust. Nobody else is doing anything. These people that are tweeting, you know, on the Twitters and everything, I think that's a joke. I appreciate their concern, but I think more than you asking me what my qualifications are, Phil, I think what you should do is ask the people in America, well, I know what Don Parsley's doing. What are you doing? What are you people doing? Or I could do it right now and say, I'm on my way over there to take care of this guy Coney, who hurts children. See, I hear people say they don't want to hurt no kids, but I don't see them doing anything about it. Well, I'm doing something about it, and I challenge each and every one of the people in your audience tonight to send $10 or more to Coney Must Go, 12,000 Santa Susana Pass Road, Chatsworth, California.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Lloyd on the Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd, go ahead.
Yes, Phil, the gentleman that you have on your program this evening, Mr. Hendry was asking you, sir, I have experience in the United States Navy.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the gentleman. Say it again.
You said you have experience in the Navy. Is that right, sir?
Yes. Yes, I do, and I wanted to ask this man, because I heard Mr. Hendry ask the same question, what is your military experience, sir?
Yes, sir, he did ask that, and I had to respond. I can't go into that.
All right, you can't go into that. Now, I also heard you...
Can I just say something, sir, for a minute?
Well, I want to finish my point, excuse me. I also heard you say... that you had an operational plan, is that correct?
Yes, I do. But I wanted to ask you, sir, are you going to put your money where your mouth is?
Well, hold on. When you say put my money where my mouth is, I don't have any problem doing that, but I want to get some return on my investment, if you will.
Well, we're talking about kids here, sir. You know,
I know we're talking about kids.
They're not an investment so much as they are just...
Yep. Now, I called, and my time is limited, and I called to be on the host's show, if you don't mind. All right. So, my question is, what is your operational plan then of going to get this Coney man that you talk about, and I don't even know.
His name is Joseph Kony.
Yes, sir.
And he is the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army in Africa.
Yes, sir. So what is your operational plan, sir?
At this time, sir, I cannot...
There you go. You can't tell me. So you can't tell me what the military experience is. You can't tell me what the operational plan is. You won't tell me virtually. Can you tell me who's in your organization?
Look, Larry, or I don't know.
My name is not Larry. It's Lloyd, sir.
All right. I'm sorry, sir, but... I can't tell you these things because if I did, they would compromise the operational plan.
You can't tell me because I don't know whether or not you actually have an operational plan.
Let me say this, sir, and I mean this with all respect. You're an elderly man.
Hold on. I've got United States naval experience in combat, sir.
Yes, sir, I understand that, but wars today... are a lot different from what they were back when you were out there wearing your sailor suit. You know
something? But you just disrespected...
All right, let's not yell, okay?
No, he just disrespected the United States Navy.
I'm just telling you, sir, nowadays, wars are fought battalion size. We don't go in with our sailor suits on, you know.
You just disrespected the naval veterans... of this country.
Let's not characterize sailor suits or things like that, okay? Because you, this gentleman has at least told us what branch of the military he served in. You've not said anything.
I desperately want to show people that I do have the experience. If I told you my military experience, I'm going to say something stupid, but I mean it. If I told you the military experience that I've got, you would want my autograph.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
I'm very, very serious.
You're trying to tell me you're some kind of a big man. Well, good for you. But I am telling you, when you said sailor suit, boy, that tore it right there.
And we're not going to disrespect anybody. We're not going to say sailor suit, none of that stuff, okay? What I want, the questions that are being asked to you here, Don, are very, very simple questions. If you can't answer them, then you can't answer them. But I want to ask you this. How do you expect people to donate money?
That's my point exactly.
All right, hold on. How do you expect people to donate money when you can't give anybody a clear-cut idea of what your plan is?
Because, Phil, I'm asking the American people to trust a man who knows what he's doing. And I believe me. I swear to God, you get me a stack of Bibles.
Don't you blaspheme the Lord's name, sir.
I am not blaspheming the Lord's name. You get me a stack of Bibles right now.
Don't you dare blaspheme the Lord's name and you say you're going to help children?
I'm going to try. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm not saying I'll be successful, but at least I'm going to try, damn it. At least I'm going to do that much.
Listen to the big speech. You know, I heard...
Well, you know what? What speech are you giving?
I heard that exact same line in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and that was a Jack Giblin movie.
And what was it?
Jack Giblin.
The Man in One Flew on a Cuckoo's Nest, if you don't know that movie.
And you mean One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yes, sir.
That was Jack Nicholson.
I was Jack Nicholson, yes, sir.
You said Jack Giblin.
Now, I don't care what I said. The fact is, you're pulling your operational plan. Thank you very much.
Is the caller there?
No, he hung up. He hung up. But I can tell you his frustration is understood by me. If you can't give us an idea of what you're going to do, I cannot recommend to my audience that they send you money.
Well, how about this for a recommendation, Mr. Henry? How about if you say to your audience, here's one man who cares about children being tortured and everything.
Well, all right, they're being conscripted. You're right. There is a very horrific state of affairs with this guy, Coney, kidnapping children. Understood.
No, but it's not just, I don't think it is understood. I don't think it is understood. I've got two sons of my own. When I see them go to sleep at night,
you know, 20 minutes ago, you said your sons had left to join with bikers.
No, sir, I did not.
Yes, you most certainly did.
Well, I'm talking about my sons then. I must have thought about them when they were children. When I see them going to sleep at night, I was sort of going back in time.
Because your sons are no longer living at home, right?
No. Well, no, they're not. No, they're not.
Well, are they or are they not, sir?
I'm told that they're not living at home because they live with their mother, so I don't know. She said they left.
So you don't look... When's the last time you saw your sons?
Before they left. I don't know where they are. My wife, they were living with my wife, and she said they ran off with the Hell's Bells, or whoever they're called.
Hell's Angels.
The Hell's Angels, yes, sir.
But you don't know. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL as we continue here with Don Parsley and your phone calls as we talk about this program called Coney Must Go and the money that he's attempting to raise for his organization to go over there. And as he says, take care of him. But he won't say how. He won't say what the plan is. He won't say what the plan is to rescue the kids. He won't even tell us what his military experience is, which he says he has. But if he did tell us, we'd want his autograph. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with the Earth Cam of Hollywood Boulevard right behind us. And I was showing our audience earlier that, I think you were asking, Don, right there is the entrance to the Hollywood Promenade there on the right-hand part of the screen.
I asked because my wife and I have been there this past summer. Is that where you was today?
Well, we were up on, if you go through that promenade there, we were up on Highland and Franklin, which is where the crew was.
And that's on a TV show that you do.
Yes, sir. All right, so our number is 877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show. And we have with us here Mr. Don Parsley, and I'm told by Bud Dickman, what, we got David?
Yeah, I've got David Hall on line four and make a comment.
All right, let's go to David Hall. He's a vice president of syndication.
Well, I came on his program, sir. You told me we were going to talk, you know, about raising money for our organization.
We are. I got to talk to the... David.
Yeah, listen, Phil, I don't want to... I don't want to cause a problem between you and your guest. I don't want to cause a problem between this gentleman, Mr. Name is Parsley, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
But I think you are going right over the head of the audience tonight. I don't think they get this at all.
You don't think they get what?
Can I interject?
No, I'd rather you not interject anything. I don't think the audience gets what you're talking about with Coney and kidnapped kids. They don't get it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, what's not to get? I mean,
They're not aware of the story, Phil. I mean, this is a story that broke on Twitter last night. Do you understand that Twitter is the spearhead of cultural awareness? If you wanted to know what's going on in America, and you wanted to know what only like 1% of the people in America knew about, you'd go right to the tip of the spear, which is Twitter. Okay?
Can I interject, sir? I think you are dead wrong.
Sir, no, you may not interject because I'm talking to my host at this time, if you don't mind.
Well, I came on this program.
I know you came on the program, but I'm telling Phil and I'm telling his audience and I'm telling you, sir, that this topic, my audience is not getting.
Mr. Henry, who runs? Do you run this show? Or?
I'm talking to my vice president of syndicate. We have an agreement that if there is something that he feels is egregious, or something that needs pointing out in the middle of the show, that he's allowed to call and come on and get on the air.
Well, not allowed. I do pretty much what I want to do. I mean, I ask your permission, yeah.
No, yeah. You. That's exactly what you do. You ask my permission. You don't just come on here.
All right. When you say that I'm allowed, it makes me sound like I'm... Man, I'll tell you, it makes me sound like I'm about 6 degrees of separation from a real sis. Sister Sissy.
Okay, I want to, you know, I came on the show tonight to talk about children who have been kidnapped by a rebel force.
Yeah, and you came on to get money, and I get it, but no one knows what you or Mr. Henry are talking about. Now, I can tell you this is a fact, Phil. This guy, Coney, whether he's been in operation for 30 years or 50 years, this is talk radio in America. The American is primarily concerned with the elections, and when it comes to international affairs, it better have something to do with terrorists, Arabs, oil, something like that. This stuff in Africa, they don't know from.
Well, what do you want me to do, okay?
What I want you to do is I want you to get out of it.
Well, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of a segment here.
Hold on. I'm the guest.
I'm not talking to you, okay?
I'm the guest on the show.
Did you book this time?
David.
Hold on. Did you book the time?
What do you mean, did I book the time?
Did you buy this time, sir?
No, I didn't buy any time.
You're not telling me anything. I'd like you, sir, if you wouldn't mind, to just shut up. Nobody knows about Coney.
Oh, wow. Who? Oh, that almost feels good. You just told me to shut up, and it almost feels good.
It almost feels good?
Yeah, the things I'm thinking of doing to you.
Hold on for a minute, and let's not get weird. All right, I've got, whether the audience gets it or not, I got 7 minutes left in this segment.
And you want to waste my time and everybody. What I'd like you to do, you've got this guest, this Mr. Parsley, is that it?
Yeah, for the 15th time, that's my name.
Sir, I am sorry, I didn't know what your name was.
15th time, that's Mr. Parsley, yeah.
It's Parsley.
Yes, sir. That's number 16 now.
I asked the guy what his name is. You know.
That's number 17.
Your name's Parsley?
And that's number 18.
Is it Parsley is all I'm asking?
Yes, it's Parsley.
19.
Okay, it's Parsley.
Well, you and Parsley can sit here and do something that people are going to ask the audience something. You got to save the show because you've been talking about a bunch of kidnapped.
You're talking about kidnapped Africans.
What?
You're talking about. I don't hear what you're saying. You're saying.
Shut up.
You're talking about a lot of kidnapped African kids. Nobody in America came about it.
David, I can't hear you. And people are going to turn their radio up.
I know they're going to turn it up. But they still might. I'm saying
Africans, they don't care.
What? I can't hear you, man.
I said you're talking about a bunch of kidnapped
African kids. You know, kind of big, man. Well, you are some stumbling, muttering.
Hey. I said nobody cares about the topic of kidnapped Africans. Okay, you happy?
No, that's great. Okay. That means what? That means Americans don't? Nobody does? White Americans don't? Black Americans don't?
You know, leave it to you, Henry, to take a very simple statement and break the thing, turn it into gasoline napalm. That's what you do with it. A very simple statement, and you turn it into napalm and pour it over everything. Everybody and everything.
Well, this guy's nuts.
I'm not nuts. I'm telling you, how about this as a topic, okay, Phil? Gas prices, what do you think?
Gas prices, what do you think? Well, there you go. That's Talk Radio 101 right there. Gas prices, what do you think? You want me to open the phones up on that? And what do you think the answer is going to be?
They're going to say they don't like it.
No kidding. Boy, that's what I call dramatic tension.
Well, look, you got to do something.
I tell you what, if I just listen to you rant and rave here for the next 2 minutes, that's something.
Well, why don't you do so? I got it. You know, They're going to shut down the cigarette factories in the South. You know that?
No, I don't. I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that?
No.
They're going to.
They're going to shut down the cigarette factories in the South. Why?
Because they're going to outlaw cigarettes. They're going to make, you know, in other words, they're going to get rid of cigarettes. See what I'm saying? Because they've gotten rid of the no smoking outdoors and all that stuff, and they've gotten rid of no smoking in bars and all that, they're finally just going to say, let's get rid of cigarettes. And so they got to shut down the factories that make them. Now, don't you think that's going to leave a lot of people out in the street? Don't you think that's going to stick a lot of people on the unemployment rolls, shutting down the cigarette factories?
Well, where can I read about this? Where did you see this news?
Well, I think he's putting you on. I made it up. But I'm saying...
Oh, get out of here, will you? For I got to take a break anyway. All right, so fine. So nobody knows about Coney. I didn't either. At least it was an educational hour. 877-876-PHIL. Yes, sir.
Can I give our address out one more time?
Get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
God, man.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we go there boldly and willingly and, you know, and sometimes we limp into those places. But, Jack, we go there. This hour we are going to talk about the continuing, albeit quieting, controversies, not just around Rush Limbaugh, but the larger question of birth control and what it means. Because if you really want to get down to the brass tacks of the whole Limbaugh controversy, personalities aside, you're talking about why women take birth control and what the interpretations are. Oh, you take birth control? You take birth? That's fine. And then you know, what society may think, or what individuals may think, what the woman herself thinks, and then what is the interpretation of that? And you know, is that something we pay for? You know, is that something that society is comfortable paying for? Now, if insurance covers Viagra, I got a real problem not giving women insurance money for birth control. I just got a super, super big problem not provide. That's just my personal opinion. Okay, I don't want to get anybody mad at me, but. If you're giving guys Viagra, you know, insurance is paying for Viagra, and we're not talking, I don't think, does it discriminate between married men or single men? It doesn't really make any difference, because even if you're subscribing, or if you're prescribing, I should say, Viagra to a married man, you know as well as I do, you're not, the doctor is not sitting there saying, well, I'm going to give you a prescription, and the insurance company will pay for this, so that you can achieve functionality. So that you can have all kinds of babies, right? That's why. Now, don't lie to me, Charlie. And that's, I think, how silly that gets. Vernon Dozier is an educator. He's a high school educator. And it's taken its course, I should say, this topic into our schools. And, Vernon, you are a current events, a social studies teacher at your school, as well as the athletic football coach and basketball coach. So you've been talking to your students about this very topic, and we're very happy to have you with us. Coach, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on your program.
Coach Dozier, the seniors and juniors that you talk to in your social studies and in your health classes about this topic, how do you approach this?
Well, we approached it from the standpoint of the Rush Limbaugh controversy. In other words, we said, I'm sure you've seen or heard the news concerning popular commentator Rush Limbaugh and a name that he called a young woman who was testifying in front of the United States Congress. Now, as a teacher, I want to make sure that my students get all the information they can, but I can't divorce myself from the reality that I do have opinions. you know, that my opinion counts. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying to a class of students, I'd like to give you my opinion about this, and I'd like you to just listen to it. I'm not going to necessarily give you a test on it, but I'd like you to sit there as young men and women and just shut your mouths for a few minutes and listen to me while I tell you what's up with this. Because here's why I say that, Phil.
You're not telling them to shut their mouths, are you?
Well, it depends on the day, to be honest with you. But you know, you are dealing with young, underage kids, and they do get rambunctious. So you do sometimes you have to tell them to just shut their mouths or, you know, just be quiet. But the reason why I say that is because of this. You know, it seems logically to me that if a woman takes birth control, she does not want to have a baby. Now, if she is a single mother, or if she's a single woman, doesn't necessarily have to be a mother, but if she's a single woman and she's taking birth control, she does not want to have a baby because she's going to be having sex with men she's not married to. If she's a married woman and she uses birth control, she still doesn't want to have a baby. She wants to have sex. Just to have sex. All right. Does that make her a slut? The technical definition, I think, of a slut, if you not necessarily go to Webster's, but if you go to what I call the Common Sense Dictionary, and that is in the Common Sense Dictionary is I think, right next to the dictionary on how to treat your fellow man, the Golden Rule Dictionary, you know. And the Common Sense Dictionary tells you that a slut is someone that likes to, you know, enjoys doing, you know, doing sex every time, you know, a lot of times. And that, to me, is an indication of a slut. Now, here's what happened.
So you that's your opinion that you expressed to the kids?
Well, I said, yeah, I mean, if you're a female and your body is constructed so that you have babies, men don't have babies, women have babies. So if you are having, say, if you need to have it, sex, even though you're going to have a baby, so then you're going to go take some birth control, boy, you really got to have it. So my feeling is that does mean either slut, or it means slut, slut-like, or sluttish, however you want to put it. I went to all of the girls in my class, and I asked them one at a time, what was their definition of a slut? I said, this is before I told them what I thought. I said, I went to every girl in my class.
Well, how many kids are in your class?
In the social studies class, we've got 20. And it's 9 boys and 11 girls.
So you went to 11 girls.
We went to 11 girls. And I said, now, what's a slut? What's a slut? What's a slut? And then not one of these girls, and I got a little irritated, and I did speak to one of our counselors after about it, but I kept telling these girls, I said, what is a slut? You know, I when you lean on someone's desk and you look at a kid in the eye and you know she knows what you're talking about, and you look at her and you say, would you tell me, please, what, you know, I'm just remembering this one girl, her name is Heidi. What? It's a slut. I mean, I lost my temper a little bit, and I shouldn't have. And
well, that sounds to me like you're getting hyper-tense.
No, I'm not getting hyper-tense. I just, when you asked her, I said, do you know what I mean by a slut? Miss Juniper is her last name. I don't want to, these are young, underage kids, so I don't want to say what their names are, but, you know, I said to her, would you please tell me over and over, and she wouldn't do it. And I finally, I remember saying just, would you please, in the name of Jesus H. Christ, tell me what a slut is, and that's when I went over the line. I got a call on that the next day, and I got a call from some of the other parents, from the administrator, saying the parents had called, and they were upset because I'd asked this question. Well, guess what, Phil? The girls whose mothers are single were particularly angry with me asking what a slut is, and I knew what that meant. They're single women. They're taking birth control. They're having sex with men that are not their husbands, and so naturally they're going to be hypersensitive about me asking that question. And I thought it was personally insulting because two of them had turned down dates with me when I was single. I had been, not single, but I had been separated.
All right, hold on for a minute. I want to get up to speed here. This girl that, I want to get back to the girl in class that you were asking this question of, and it sounded to me like you were getting really angry with her.
I lost my temper at one point, and I used the phrase, Jesus H. Christ, and I should not have said that. And I apologized, and but I you have to understand my frustration. I said to this girl, I said, you better, you know, I know you know what a slut is, because I know this girl's mother. Her mother's a single woman. She's a single mother. I know her mother.
Okay, you know her mother and what?
I know her mother, and I know her mother has sexual relations with men that are not, obviously her mother's single. She's not, the husband and her are divorced.
You mentioned having asked one of the mothers out on a date.
I had asked two of the mothers out on a date.
Was this mother one of them?
That is, that's affirmative, but, Phil, it's not germane to what I'm talking about, because I wanted to get the answer from these kids. Everybody wants Rush Limbaugh's hide. Is what he's saying true or not? That's all I wanted to know.
So was Rush Limbaugh right in saying that a woman that takes birth control who is not married, or a woman that takes birth control to obviously have sex and avoid having babies, does this make them sluts, that is, wantonly craving sex?
That is exactly correct.
And you feel that the question is valid?
I feel the question is valid, and what I think is unfair is that I was called on the carpet because of my temper, and they never did get around to, well, was Coach Dozier asking a valid question. Instead, I got shot down because I said to this one kid, would you please say, answer the question, because I'm thinking, answer the question. I know your mother is.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You know, I can't even go with that answer, but I don't want to engage the coach yet with my opinion. We'll ask you yours, 877-876-PHIL. Taking birth control, does that automatically make you a slut? And, of course, is it an appropriate question to ask high school females? And is it an appropriate question to ask particularly of a high school female whose mother is a single mother who is dating and so on and so forth? So there's a lot of stuff going on with this question. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Coach Dozier is the varsity football coach. He's also the social studies teacher, as well as the health and science teacher for the senior and junior classes there. You're also the senior and junior class advisor coach, is my understanding?
That is correct. Started this year, Phil.
Well, congratulations on that. And I know that the stadium, after another divisional title for the football team, has been named in your honor, and that's got to be something for you, huh?
It is, Phil. It's 27 years here at Belmar, and I've been very blessed.
We're talking about the health and science class that you teach. There are 11 girls in your class. You went to each one and asked them about what they thought a slut was. Some of those girls are the mothers. Their mothers are single. And you were talking to this one girl about her own mother. Was she a slut? Did she take... I wanted to ask you, your concern over this word slut and what it means in relation to birth control, was this all about the Limbaugh story?
Yes, sir, it was about Limbaugh. Look, Phil, this doesn't make me some kind of a freak of nature because I...
No, I'm not saying that it does. I just wanted to make sure because... You were getting very hypertense about this one girl. She didn't. You asked her, "What is a slut?"
I got hypertense about her because I know her mother. And look, her mother has the perfect right. When I was separated from Tiffany, I had asked I asked a lot of women out, and I asked out one of these And she said no. And okay, that's fine. If she thinks she's God's gift to, in any event, I said, that's fine. But when I asked her daughter, I said, what do you think a slut is? And the little girl sat there staring at me with that kind of half smile. I don't know if you've ever seen a, I'm a big, big fan of these chow chow dogs, if you've ever seen a chow dog. Well, they have like almost a smile. And it's a smile that it's almost like the dog is looking at you like you're dumber than he is. And before I got to know dogs as a young man, before I understood dogs, I used to kick chows right in the face, right in the head, because I thought they were smiling at me. You know, I didn't know any better. I was a kid. But she got this look on her face.
Yeah, no, I know that, and you used this profanity.
It was not profanity.
Well, yes, it was. It was profanity. It was taking the Lord's name. Isn't that profanity? And
oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, sir.
And okay, and that was the tension that you were talking about that eventually you were called on the carpet for.
I was called on the carpet for using that, but I wanted to say this. Her mother, I know her mother, and her mother is having sex, uses birth control, and has sex, has lots of it, and I don't want one. I won't tell you how I know.
All right, I don't think that that's appropriate for our radio show either.
I did not. I didn't use anybody's name. I didn't use anybody's name. Check your law book, Mr. Henry. I didn't use anybody's name.
All right, our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is Janine on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Janine. Janine, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this guy, he sounds really insecure about himself, and it just seems that he has a lot of anger towards single women, period. And how does he really know for sure if this woman was on birth control? I mean, did he stalk her? Did he go in her house and look in her medicine cabinet? I mean, like, he's... And
well,
then kicking dogs in the face? This man is, like, sick, and I don't think that his... that him approaching his students was appropriate either.
Ma'am, if I could say, Phil.
Go ahead.
Ma'am, no, I did not stalk anybody. I'm asking my students a question based upon a current event story, which had to do with Rush Limbaugh, the talk show host. And the question was, what do you think a slut is? And I asked my girl students, because obviously this affects them, it impacts them more directly. Well, none of them could really answer the question. But when I got around to the four girls whose mothers I know are single, and then I got to this young girl whose mother I know, and you asked me, what was your question? How do I know what?
How do you know she's on birth control?
Let's just put it this way. If it crawls through the grass and it's, you know, and it looks like a snake, it is, okay?
That'll make no sense. You're not making
what does that mean?
Sense.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Excuse me? What does it mean? It means this. If it walks like a... What's the phrase? If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck.
Well, what does that mean? So what are you saying about this girl's mom?
This woman is seen at every bar in Glendale.
But how does
with a different guy.
Mom?
What's that, ma'am?
How is that telling you that she's on birth control? That doesn't tell you anything about being on birth control, and I mean, that just, you're
well,
not making any
me.
Sense. I think
the
honestly,
woman has been, excuse me, the woman has been.
This woman rejected you.
Ma'am, it's got nothing to do with it. The woman for years has had a reputation of crawling every one of these bars.
You know, we're talking about someone's mom here. We're talking about a woman. You think there's anybody in your school that's going to recognize who she is?
Mr. Henry, you asked me a question. I'm trying to answer you. She's got a reputation, and this girl's asked me, how do I know she's on... Well, if she's not on birth control,
if she has such a reputation, why were you trying to date her?
Well, ma'am, three guesses, okay? Does that make me a bad guy?
Yes.
All I'm trying to...
Oh, God. I mean, it makes it a little unseemly. You're a high school teacher.
You people are really interesting, and this is what I don't like about the liberal media. I come on the program to answer questions,
there
and
no
now all
liberal
of
media, really.
Is that right? Within 30 minutes, you and Mr. Henry now have me standing here in front of the world like some kind of a, excuse my language, because
no,
the kids talk this way
now. We're holding you accountable for what you say. That's it, and that's all. You're
right,
the one
ma'am,
who put yourself on this talk show. That's it.
No, I'm on the talk show because I have expertise in areas having to do with education and current events. You two have put
really?
Me in front of the world like
okay,
the all-time...
being rejected by
yes.
over 100 women does not make you an expert.
Excuse me, ma'am. When did I ever say I'd been rejected? I'm a married man.
When you
I
were
was
rejected,
separated from
you
my...
said you were rejected by two women from
yes.
the parents of the students at your school. I mean, Phil, am I wrong?
One of them...
Well, you did. No, you said that. But I didn't hear him say 100, Janine. That's all. I think...
I didn't say 100.
You didn't say 100, but I'm...
Let me
I'm
tell you, in my life, I've never been rejected by 100 women in my whole life, okay?
So, all right, let's not talk about your dating. I'm not interested in that.
Well, that's what this lady's talking about.
No, what we're interested in is the fact, here's the question. Are you not emotionally motivated by the fact that this woman rejected you, wanting to know what a slut is, bearing in on this woman's daughter, talking about what a slut is, slut, 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 all this stuff. You lost your temper. You admitted that you did. How do you know that you weren't losing your temper because this girl's mom wouldn't go out with you?
You know, this is what I mean. You two, the liberal media, takes me, sticks me in front of the whole world like I'm a first-rate USDA-inspected prime douchebag. And the reason for that is I won't answer your questions. And
well, don't you think that that's what motivated it? Your anger.
She's out with every... I asked her out. She said no. Okay, fine. I don't care.
Yes,
I don't.
You, do.
You know.
Yes, you
no.
do.
Do I really? Do I want gonorrhea? No,
obviously
I do not.
Obviously, you that's care a... because you're angry. This has nothing to do with the award or rest.
You know, I don't know you. I don't know you, ma'am. But I hate you very much. And the reason why.
All right, hold on. I got to take a break here, Janine. Thank you for your call. Thank you. Our number 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier here on What a Slut Is.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. And Vernon is joining us here from Belmar tonight because we're talking about his social sciences class as well as social studies class, I should say, as well as his health and science class and the discussion therein on birth control and the whole definition of the word slut. You know, Vernon, I've known you for a lot of years, and the reason why I had you on the show is you're an educator, and you do a health and science class. You teach a health and science class, as well as a social events class or a current events class. So the two things come together. You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying. You didn't say it very elegantly there, Phil. You had a difficult time spitting it out. Yes, but you're right. I'm very well versed in what we call social studies, as well as health and science. And you're right again when you say that these two topics do come together. On the one hand, you have Rush Limbaugh, who asked a very good question, and that is, well, okay, you may not like me. My name may be Rush Limbaugh, and you might think that I'm, you know, the Antichrist or whatever people think about Rush Limbaugh. I don't know, and I don't care. But he did ask a good question. Don't you think a woman's a slut if she's taking birth control like it's cotton candy, or however you want to say it,
Well, wait, like cotton candy, you mean?
I mean, like popping pills like it's candy, you know?
No, I know what you mean by that, but there's a very specific protocol for birth control.
You know, Phil, I know there's a specific protocol. You know as well as I do, especially the young girl, and let me tell you something. You have your callers tonight, and they don't like what I'm saying, but I got my you-know-what fried, and I mean fried third degree, by the administration, by the board, and by the PTO at Belmar Academy. So I've already had my hind end. I mean, cooked. I mean, it's like if I sat down in red hot charcoal briquettes. That's what happened to me. I don't know, how was your day, Phil? Because that's what happened to me.
All right. So, and what, did you learn anything?
What is that supposed to mean? Did I learn anything?
Did you? If they call you on the carpet and say you grilled that girl, you interrogated that girl, you asked her this hard question about what's a slut, what's a slut, what's a slut, and your mother's a slut. I mean, you know.
I didn't say that her mother was a slut. I said, you know full well, you know, and I said, Jeannie, you know full well that your mother and.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to some phone calls hanging on here. We got Chad. Go ahead, Chad. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Vernon Dozier.
All right, hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I was going to make a comment to this guy talking about how his perception of all girls takes birth control automatically classifies them as a slut. That is so simple-minded, I cannot even begin to elaborate on
why is she taking birth control then? If she's taking birth control,
taking precautionary measures, she doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all take it in the morning and plan on screwing everybody from her house, school, or work.
If you're single, then what are you doing?
And so in that she's prepared.
That's a female. That's a female, and you know as well as I do that the female is going to draw the man in for the purposes of sex. Because the female puts out the sexual signal. Now she's popped her birth control. So the man is naturally going to be drawn in by the sex signal that's being put out.
A man
only he don't know.
Because a man's going to go out after it anyway.
What's that?
So I said a man doesn't have to be drawn in. He's going to go after it anyway.
I know, but he's going to be drawn. No, I know that, but he's going to be drawn in by the female that's put out the sex signal. And he won't know that she took birth control. He thinks he's drawn in by the natural sex signal. And
what is this natural sex signal? I don't know. What do you mean?
There, if you know anything about health and science, Mr. Henry.
Genetic makeup to seek out a part.
What?
We're all creatures.
I can't hear you, man.
I say we are all.
I know we all look for me, but we don't go out. You don't see butterflies. Excuse me for saying it. Do you see butterflies banging everything that moves? No.
And not all girls taking birth control go out banging everything that moves.
Well, excuse me. Could you just help me out here? What is an unmarried girl doing? What's an unmarried girl doing? Taking birth control, that's number one. And then her mother, I happen to know of her mom. I know 3, 4, 5 women who are single mothers, who are mothers of girls in our class, and they, not a one of them, would say yes to me for a cup of coffee, which that...
You know, you keep bringing that up, and that just lends credence...
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, you know, you are saying that. That lends credence to what that girl said when she called and said that you're angry because these women turned you down.
No, I did not say that, Mr. Henry.
Yes, you did. You keep bringing this up. You know, I asked them all out, and they all told me no. Okay, and what is this sex signal thing you're talking about?
You don't know about that.
No, I don't. What is that?
Excuse me, you've never heard of the Fernarin? It's the smell. A woman puts off the Fernanome or something, but it's called the... smell. The Pheranones. Yeah, Pheranone.
Pheranone. No, I think both of you... That was a pretty good stab at it, though, Chad. You got closer than Vernon. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, can I say something, Phil? This is what you sounded like just now.
That was a pretty good stab at it, Chad.
See, when you try to suck up to your callers...
Wait, what did you just do?
I was making fun of you, like you've been making fun of me.
What, you mocked my voice? All I said was that was a pretty good stab at it, Chad.
No, but that was you sucking up to your callers, trying to get your callers more and more and more and more on your side, and trying to make them more and more be against me. Now, I want to tell you something.
Okay, Vernon...
Hold on. I want to tell you something. I'm a teacher of a high school class, and I try my very best. And I do my very best. And when Tiffany and I separated, and I knew that she was not going to come back...
You know, you need to calm down.
I'm simply saying to you, when I asked that woman out, I didn't ask her out so that we could screw like a couple of rabbits. I wanted to do was take her out for a drink. A drink. That's what it's called. You've heard of it. It's called a drink. I, at that point, Phil, I didn't care. It could have been, she could have ordered a punch, a Hawaiian pooch. She could have ordered not a hot dog, but a...
I know what you're saying. A non-alcoholic?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's fine, and I'm really sorry about your separation, and everything's good, you know. I'm not angry at you for that. I just don't know what any of this has to do with you teaching your class about health, science, and the definition of slut relative to birth control. Let's go to Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark, go ahead, sir.
Wow, I don't even know where to begin. I really don't. This guy sounds so sexist and ignorant, yet he's a paid professional. He's teaching children. He's teaching our future. And he doesn't know how to pronounce
pheromones.
No,
listen to the caller. Listen.
I'm sorry, you have pheromones. You're right. Pheromones? I was having a hard time finding the word.
Yeah, you're getting flustered over your own step in the crap.
If the caller can tell me how I stepped in the crap, I'd love for him to tell me, because I believe that I've been.
You said it yourself. You were brought out on the carpet. You were talked to by everybody in the school about your mistake, using the Lord's name in vain. I'm not highly religious, but I know that that's offensive, so I wouldn't say that. In fact, the term slut is offensive to most. I wouldn't say that as a teacher. However,
I used the term, sir, because it was in the news. It was in the news, so I used the term.
My teachers used the term, too. I'm just saying, me personally, I wouldn't as a teacher. However,
you have to. If it's part of the news, you have to use it.
Okay, you're right. Sure. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, great. So I get blown off, and this guy gets to make his speech.
You made your point, Vernon. I want to hear what my caller has to say.
Wow, that kind of threw me off. As far as women using birth control, there's a lot of different reasons. One of the things you have to look at in high school kids is their perception of the world is that it's a pretty bleak and dismal place to be. A lot of them turn to drugs. Escapism runs rampant. Sex is the last free legal high, and so yeah. There are a lot of men and women that are slutty. I've got more than 20 condoms in my apartment. Does that make me a slut?
Yeah, you've got 20 condoms. Well, you got 20 condoms? So what are you going to do? You're going to go out and use those on a woman. Is that right?
No, I don't plan on it.
Does that make you a slut?
They're here in case something happens.
What do you mean in case something? In case a woman just walks in and says, will you please have sex with me? Are you nuts?
Yeah, particularly one woman, my ex and future wife.
I see, and your ex and future wife. So if she comes in and says, have sex with me, oh, shoot, you better have sex with her. Now, Mr. Hendry, on TV right now is this woman, Erin Burnett, and she has a thing that says, Becoming China's Bitch. This Erin, you know who Erin Burnett is?
Yeah.
And she's got a headline, Becoming China's Bitch. Now, here's a woman who's now using a colloquial phrase used by a lot of people, but she's a female, and she is basically using a prison term that America is going to be China's bitch economically. And this is Erin Burnett, who's got the look of slut all over her. What do you say to that?
Oh, boy.
What does old boy mean?
I mean, just as this gentleman said, I don't know where to begin. She's got the look of slut all over her.
She's using a headline that says, Becoming China's Bitch.
Like?
Turn on CNN and take a look at Erin Burnett. There you go. You want to know what I would put her face, and look at this, Becoming China's Bitch. So America is becoming China's bitch, according to Erin Burnett, who's about as, she's got slut carved up.
Wow.
You're crazy. No, that's like walking down the street and saying, oh, well, she looks like a Christian, and she looks like a...
No, totally different.
I mean, you can't just
you can say that. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people look like vegans. Skinny guys with their hair in the dreadlock, the filthy dreadlock, and they're skinny, and their girlfriends don't shave their legs. That guy's a vegan.
Or a hair.
All right, fine. All right. Thanks very much, sir, for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL. I don't know where to begin with you, Vernon, because Aaron Burnett is a slut, huh?
He's got a head. It says, becoming China's bitch. She's using a prison yard term. You know, I got to tell you, man, you people, the hypocrisy, it just makes me want to, I want to heave everything I've ever eaten in my life. I want to heave it up.
877-876-PHIL. I see what it, did you put it over on the CNN, but becoming China's bitch, whatever. It's CNN, man. They're the most inelegant. They are, CNN is a faux intellectuals retreat. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. What is a slut? We've got Vernon Dozier on the line, who was called on the carpet for singling out one young girl's mother, who's a single mother, her use of birth control and what that meant. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Vernon Dozier with us here as we talk about the definition of slut. What was this, Vanity Fair?
I forget which magazine it was, but it was one of the recent ones, and I saw a woman on the cover, one of the celebrities, and she's pregnant, and she's naked and pregnant on the cover now. Phil, believe me when I tell you I've been married, and I've got two grown children. I've got an adult daughter and an adult son. I've seen my wife, my first wife, pregnant. And she is very beautiful to me, but that's to me. I know I'm not so egotistical as to think that my wife, pregnant, is attractive to every man or woman out there. And quite frankly, sometimes when a woman's pregnant, blood vessels are broken and all kinds of things. I don't even want to get into it, okay?
All right, so what the point is what?
Why do I have to look at it on a magazine? Why did that... I don't know who told Demi Moore or whoever this one. I think I saw this one. Who's that old lady? They got an old woman on the cover of New York Magazine that I think is an assault on the senses. It's an assault on the nervous system. And
I'm sorry, I don't know this.
You know, Mr. Hendry, you don't know a lot of... Every time I mention something...
I don't know the magazine you're talking about.
I'm talking, sir, about New York Magazine. There's an old lady that's pregnant on the cover. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It is an assault on the nervous system. When I saw it, I remarked to my wife, I said, do you remember, and she's too young to remember, but I said, when the Exorcist came out, the first time that the young girl in the film, Linda Blair, the actress, the first time her character's head turned 360 degrees, it was a frightening moment in the theater. Everyone screamed, and I am telling you now, as God is my witness, that when I looked at that old woman... nude and pregnant. It was Blair's head. That's all I saw going all the way around, or whatever the woman, Blair. And then when she took the, you know, she took the crucifix and went, let Jesus blank blank.
You know.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And you got to have some kind of a problem, man, to see a pregnant woman on the cover of Vanity Fair and immediately remember the Linda Blair character in The Exorcist with the crucifix. Saying, let Jesus blank blank.
I've got the problem. Woo-hoo! Brother, that you just knocked it out of the... I've got the problem.
Yeah, you've got the problem, man. You have got the problem. 877-876-PHIL. Let me take another phone call here. Wow. Here is Bud. Go ahead, Bud. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I drive trucks. I've been listening to this program for about 35 or 40 minutes. And I still have yet to determine what his stated purpose of using classroom time is when he goes eyeball to eyeball with these teenage, well-developed girls, wondering how close he got his eyes to them. Can you imagine the level of education these kids are getting? I mean, the guy spent 40 minutes. He still hasn't gotten to his point. What's the point of the classroom discussion?
The point was this, sir. It was a good question that Rush Limbaugh asked. What is a slut? What is a slut?
What are you doing trying to defend Rush Limbaugh to these kids? The second thing I want to say, and then I'm going to get off and listen to your comments. I'm convinced, Vernon, you're a very dangerous threat to the security of these girls teaching, and I think you need to be monitored very closely.
That is an absolute slander.
Before you
That's
get
a
out
slander.
Of control. You are
you just
a dangerous
slandered me.
Man.
You have slandered
you
me.
You want to. I'm touching a tender spot with you. You're
I'll bet you're touching a tender spot.
What?
Yeah, I'll bet you're touching a tender spot.
You're
Is that what you're doing now?
In the classroom.
Sir, you have slandered a 35-year teaching professional. And you talking about touching your whatever.
No, he didn't say that. He said touching a tender spot.
You're a very
no,
dangerous
he did
man,
not.
Vernon. You're a very
How am I dangerous?
Man.
How am I dangerous when I bring up a topical? This is a topic that was in the news that my seniors are old enough to discuss this because this was in the news. And I asked them, all right, Rush Limbaugh, a very prominent commentator in American society, says that you're a slut if you use birth control. Can you define slut? I didn't ask them what their opinion of his comment was.
You've
then
been
I went
35
directly,
or 40 minutes trying to get to the point. You still haven't gotten to the point. I'm very sorry for the quality of education these kids are getting. And, Phil, thank you for the show.
The point that I was making... Okay, see, he hung up. No guts.
No, he was waiting for 35 minutes.
The point that I was making... And then I'll hang up and listen. No. I'm not...
You going to hang up and listen?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what you were going to say.
I did not... I didn't say that. Yes, okay. All right, so I'm tired. So I'm sick and tired and sick to death of you and your callers. How's that feel? Is that a good fit?
You're sick to death of me and my callers.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sick to death of you, your callers, and my point is simply this. How is it that a woman can take birth control as a single mother? She's in every bar in town on Friday night, and when I asked her out for a drink... For lunch, she looked at me and laughed. She laughed.
Uh-huh.
Well, what does that mean, uh-huh? You know, Phil, there's an old saying. What's the definition of a bitch? Well, I can't say the word.
I know the joke.
It's not a joke. It hits too close to home for me.
It's the, she'll sleep with everyone but you.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's where you, so you know it.
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's what she is. Now, the other point about this guy that called up, I'm a truck driver. Did you hear him? If he's a truck driver, my name Darren Duck?
I don't know. What duck are you talking about?
What duck am I? What's the cartoon duck?
Donald.
No.
Daffy.
Well, who's Darren? You know what? I can tell you're laughing at me. You could go straight deaf.
Phil Hendry.
Darren Duck? I don't know.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. News and Information Hour here on this, is this Wednesday night? Yeah.
Yeah, I took the trash out and everything.
Yay, he remembered. Finally remember to take the trash out.
I remember to take the trash out, just didn't know of the day.
Well, anyway, you got the trash out, so did they come?
I don't know.
Well, you might want to check the cans and see if they... we have at the studio here, obviously, just like at the house, you know, we get trash pickup. They pick up the commercial trash. Do they pick it up on a different day, right?
Yeah, they pick up the commercial trash on a Wednesday and pick up on a residential trash another day.
Well, I don't know what it is, but in any event... We forgot to take the trash out here for a couple of weeks running, man. And boy, oh boy, I don't know what you're eating, bud, but man, it stunk like an open grave in there.
Oh, dude's eating a pizza. Yeah, but something else.
Was it that sushi from up the street?
Yeah, probably, yeah, but what are you talking about?
I'm talking about how it stunk to high heaven in there, man. If you're going to eat anything, man, if don't throw... Can I just hip you to something here, okay?
No, but you throw it in the garbage.
Wait a minute, bud. Meat, any organic thing like meat or fruit, throw it into the garbage disposal.
I try to tell him, man. He won't listen to me.
You got to throw it in the garbage disposal, bud. If you throw it in the garbage can, it stinks because it starts to rot. Okay?
That way to get the flies are created?
Is that why flies are created?
Yeah, from the rotted out meat.
No, flies are not created by rotted out. Oh, You know what Bud is talking about there?
What?
You're talking about what was actually stated belief for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it was called generation or spontaneous generation. Did you know that?
What?
People believed, scientists believed, the average person believed that flies were created by rotten meat.
What, ain't they? Are you an idiot or something, man? A fly ain't created by the meat. Not asking you.
No, they're not created by rotten meat. Are you nuts? What are you, out of your mind?
I don't know.
Flies are flies. They're attracted to rotten meat. Rotten meat doesn't create flies. But they used to think hundreds of years ago, up until about 200 years ago, they used to think that mud created frogs.
Now, that I don't believe.
Oh, well, listen, hey, give the man a round of applause. They used to think that rotten meat created flies. They used to think that mud created frogs. They used to think all kinds of things. It was called spontaneous generation. This was what science went on, this ridiculous stuff. Until one day, there was a curious guy out there. I don't know what the hell his name was. It might have been that guy, Leonuk, that I was reading about, the guy with the microscope. In any event, he took a piece of meat and he put a glass over top. Something as simple as that. Put a glass over top of it.
But what's that supposed to do?
That keeps everything away from it. In other words, there's no insects, no bugs, no flies, no nothing. He put a glass on top of this piece of meat, and he sat and he stared at it for days and days and days, and he saw as it got rotten, and he saw as it, you know, began to putrefy. But guess what? No flies were created. And it was that scientist who later said to his fellows, can you imagine? I mean, we laugh today. You imagine a guy standing there in front of the National Science Academy in Paris or something. And I can tell you, I put glass over this meat. It didn't create flies. But he did. He said, no way, because look what I did. Well, now, what are you trying to say? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that dirt, the rotten meat didn't create flies. Flies come from somewhere else. They're attracted to the rotten meat. And they fly to the rotten meat, and they make little flies. And the frogs are not made by mud. Frogs just like nice, wet, muddy rivers. And they like to go there and live there. That's really a lot of fun for frogs, and so they're attracted by that, see?
What if the frogs living far away? How do they get there?
Probably, like, what would they do, walk?
Yeah, I guess they'd walk. No, they'd take public transit. Are you guys nuts?
I don't know. I don't know how they...
Yeah, well, public transit.
Yeah, that's real funny. You guys trying to be funny?
No, I just wonder if the frog, is a frog just born where it's muddy, or does the frog have to walk to it?
Frogs are born where it's muddy because the other frogs came there.
Then they do make frogs.
No, they don't, you moron. Did you listen to me? The frogs go to the mud, and the frogs live in the mud, and they dig it in the mud. That's their kind of life, okay? To each his own. And they make little frogs. And the little frogs live in the mud. And what do you know? The next thing you know, well, a bunch of frogs are living in the mud. Why? Because it's really bitching in the mud. They dig it. Right there in the Nile River or the Mississippi River, all the big rivers, all the frogs like to live there. If it was dry and it was dusty and it was nasty, they'd get the hell out of there and they'd go and they'd find some other muddy area. But this is also what causes the extinction of some species. When the environment changes, when all of a sudden what used to be muddy becomes dry, and there's the frog who loves the mud and he goes, where the hell's the mud? And then, as Robert just said, then they have to walk to it. And if they have to walk too far, they croak, if you'll pardon the expression.
Get a frog croak!
That's pretty good, man. All right.
Get out of here. Why do I feel there's an iron swine coming up?
Maybe.
Anyway, so if the frogs don't find any mud, then they die, and that's it for the mud frogs. They're extinct, because there's no more mud, and the mud frogs are extinct. That's why you have extinct species. You know, the dinosaurs are gone because the environment they lived in no longer existed, and they couldn't figure out a way. They weren't adaptable. Human beings, on the other hand, are very adaptable. That's why we've continued to thrive no matter what the weather. We can live in cold. We can live in hot.
Yeah, but we put on, like, a jacket.
Well, yeah, that's how we're adaptable. We're adaptable. Dinosaurs couldn't adapt. They didn't put on jackets. Dinosaurs couldn't invent air conditioning.
But if they had invented an air conditioner, they'd still be here?
If dinosaurs could invent air conditioning, man, yeah, they'd probably still be here. They probably would have invented a whole lot of other stuff. if they could have invented air conditioning. Are you serious?
Would they still be here?
No, they wouldn't still be. I don't know. Get out of here, Robert, will you?
No, that's a dumb question. If they still, yeah, of course they'd be here.
They'd be intelligent creatures if they invented air conditioning, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So they would probably still be here, man, because if they could invent air conditioning, maybe they're inventing something else. Maybe cars, maybe dinosaur car. I don't know, but that didn't happen. So human beings, on the other hand, we're very adaptable. We invent all kinds of crap to live wherever the hell it is that we want to live. And we even live in some places that are weird. We're weird. We're weird, man. Do you get it? We're weird. All the other animals walk on four legs. What do? We walk on two.
Except birds.
True. But even the birds use those other two appendages, their wings, for mobility.
You just flap your arms like a bird. Yeah, I see that. It's going to be on a video cast.
Great. Let it be on the video cast. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, to get from point A to point B, birds must use all four of their limbs. They use their little feet to walk around, but if they want to take off and fly, they got to use their wings. So the only creature on Earth that does not rely on four of its limbs to achieve locomotion, if you will, is the human being. We do not need our arms to move around.
What about an ostrich?
Even an ostrich's wings are used or have been used at times to transport oneself or one ostrich's self. I don't know. All right, anyway, welcome to the show, folks, as we just, what a load, man.
Well, you're talking about the dirty meat and everything.
I was talking about you guys taking the garbage out. And then you're the guy that got me sidetracked with, doesn't that would be flies?
But I just wonder if it did.
Yeah, well, no, it doesn't, bud. No, that's, but actually, I'm glad you brought it up because that is a, I wonder if there are actually people who believe that.
What?
Do you think there are other human beings like Bud that believe that, you know, rotten meat creates flies?
Yeah, they're like eight.
Yeah, you're right. Eight-year-olds, they're right with you, Bud, on that.
Yeah, that's somebody.
That's right, that's somebody. You have your constituents, man, I'll tell you that. All right, we're going to look into Mitt Romney and the whole thing that went down on Super Tuesday yesterday. Very funny headline. I mean, I got to laugh. Romney encourages rivals to fold. No way, they say. Like, are you kidding, Romney? They're not going to fold, man. They're not going to. They should. They really should. Somebody should fold because I don't know how a Republican Party that can't seem to figure out whether it wants to be a Santorum Republican Party or a Mitt Romney Republican Party, how it has any idea, first of all, what it really stands for, and secondly, how it is going to attack the problem of Barack Obama in the fall. But we'll talk about it here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our news and information hour. We'll give you some news on going to our table read today for New Girl on Fox, and we'll talk about the L.A. Animation Festival as well, which is coming up in our next break. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Our next segment, I mean.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, time for Iron Swine on Phil Hendry Show. And this week, Iron Swine, Iron Swine get a call from a man and a garbage stink.
Yeah, there's a piece of meat in his garbage that stinks it up. You're going to go over there now. Iron Swine arrived. Yes, sir?
Yeah, my house, man, stink.
That's on account you got the meat in there.
Yeah, I noticed I got flies, too. If I don't get rid of that dead meat, it's going to make more flies.
That's a load.
What are you talking about?
Here, take this meat now. Well, ew.
Don't throw that out, man.
That's a diaper.
Later on, Iron Swine had to go back to office, and he had to sanitize his hands and make a man accept and everything because he stuck his hand in a baby's diaper.
Damn it, anyway, get the diaper out of there. I'm going to show you something. Give me a piece of meat.
How about this?
Why, you pervert? Ow! You're under arrest.
Iron Swine arrested that one guy for showing him that meat. Now I go to another guy's house.
It's Same problem, huh, Stinks?
Yeah.
Give me a piece of meat and not like the other guy did.
Oh, here.
Now, watch this. I'll put it under a piece of glass. Have you got a tumbler or something?
Yeah, here's a tumbler.
That's a Flintstone tumbler. I can't see through it to see the meat. What's this?
A condom?
You're under arrest. That's two guys he put in jail.
Yeah. Is this going to be done anytime soon?
Yeah, hold on.
Hold on.
Put this meat under the glass, and in the 2 weeks, call me back.
The 2 weeks went by, and I called up Iron Swine. Hey, look at this, man. There ain't no fly or anything.
And you're not under arrest.
This has been Iron Swine.
You guys are full of crap. What?
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Iron Swine. Give me a piece of meat. You're under arrest. Yeah, well, the guy put out, I know what he did. All right, well, okay, so Iron Swine, you know, I didn't know that about Iron Swine. Not only does he, not only does he fight crime, but he also, you know.
Yeah, you help people out with science projects.
Exactly. That's outstanding. Thank you very much, Iron Swine, for clearing that up for us here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our news and information hour. So, here's what happened yesterday, or last night, or whenever it happened. And I want to clarify this. It's interesting. It's very interesting. It's interesting. It's maddening. There's an awful lot of backlash now that's happening. Sometime yesterday, I was made aware of this. I was made aware of it, actually, by my godson, Joe. He and I are in touch with each other on Twitter. And, although I'm going to have to drop him one of these days if he keeps up with those Laker tweets, man. You're driving me nuts with those, Joe. You're out of your mind. Everything, the sky's falling with this guy, man.
Geez, I think the Lakers are going to stink.
Well, the Lakers may stink, okay, but they don't stink right now. They just beat the Heat, excuse me. Am I imagining that they just beat, like, one of, if not the best team in the NBA? And he's with him and his friends with those Laker tweets about how, oh, God, they're the worst team ever. Anyway, so I'm seeing this, Coney, K-O-N-Y, #Coney, # all over Twitter, and all kinds of cats. Tim Tebow had the top tweet last night, and Tim Tebow had, you know, you really got to see this video, but everybody was talking about this video. So I watched the video, and it was, if I could remember the name of the filmmaker, I got his last name, Russell. He's a father, he's got a little boy. As a matter of fact, it's an interesting point in the film where he actually filmed his son's birth, and then you see this child, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later, in a park on a carousel. The boy figures prominently in his father's film. A couple of things were disturbing to me. One was the father involving the child in. He was talking to his child and saying, "Who's the bad guy, son? There's the bad guy." Coney. And I don't know. There's something ghoulish about that.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, the Coney guy's a bad guy. I think, and I'm not even saying that young people shouldn't be involved in a political movement like that. But I think maybe, you know, with a junior high on up. I don't know. It seems. But having said that, it's a very well-meaning man. And he had this film about this guy, Joseph Kony, who has this Lord's Revolutionary Party or guerrilla army. And this guy is a real piece of crap. He has been kidnapping and conscripting into service as rebel fighters, children throughout Uganda and elsewhere in Africa for decades. Children gone from their families. Just can you imagine that? Your child has been taken away and turned into a guerrilla fighter. In the mountains, and there you are in your home and in your life, and you don't know what happened to your child. It turns out your child is a member of some entity that is making life miserable for yourself and your neighbors in this nightmare world where your country is still struggling for survival against all kinds of threats. And anyway, this film talked about this army and the kidnapping of these children. There's one part of it that just, you know, I wanted to break down and cry. He talked to this one little boy who talked about his brother dying in one of these rebel assaults. And you just, you can't, it's hard to think about. But in any event,
this filmmaker and his friends put together a couple of things they did for the people, the villagers. And I mentioned in the pre-show, they have a early warning radio system in the villages where the people can alert the village and alert people in the interior of this perimeter that this rebel army is in the area. Just small things like that. It seems very small, too, because if you're, you know, if you're fighting a rebel army, if you're fighting a guerrilla army, trained guerrillas living out in the jungle, what chance do you have unless you've got weapons yourself and a trained defense force of some kind? So I don't really, it's amazing. So nonetheless, when this film became, it went viral and everyone on Twitter started hashtagging Kony, K-O-N-Y is his name, Joseph Kony, it became a matter of, you know, many, many thousands of tweets and everybody basically saying the same vague thing. You know, F Kony and Kony burn in hell and Kony this, Kony that, and Kony 2012. Okay, fine, but that don't exactly get a guy vaporized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you were talking about that in the pre-show, and I was just thinking that if people start to know who the guy is, then people's going to do something.
By what?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, like, nobody knows about the guy.
Okay, nobody knows about the United States government knows about the guy. The U.S. government, the governments in Europe, they know about the guy. He is not a secret to the State Department, the United States defense apparatus. The problem is this, and it's very simply this. What are you talking about, man, when you say, what is America going to do about it? Now, diplomatically, there ain't nothing we can do. This is a military problem, period.
We could send the SEALs in.
Oh, sure, we could send the SEALs in. Let me just say something to you, bud. You know, you have to get government's permission for this stuff, and the SEALs are not miracle workers. I saw, there's a great series on Behind SEAL Team 6. They go into these different operations. If they don't have the support of a government, they are flat out of luck. The SEALs can't get anything done. If they're dealing with a corrupt regime, if they're dealing with a corrupt military, and the SEALs have had to deal with all of that stuff. The SEALs go in and they train these local fighters or they train these members of a corrupt militia or military, and it's like they're going, what are we doing here, man? We're not doing any good. Going into Africa, into Uganda, or any of these neighboring countries, and doing what? Training the forces? They have to be trainable. They have to want us there. And the thing that really irritates the living hell out of me is that the very people that have been tweeting Kony this and Kony that, who want to get rid of this guy, don't kid me, man. These are the very same people that have a basic aversion to the military. They got an aversion to preemptive military action. And they probably have got an aversion to funding the military. And now they're talking about Kony, what a piece of garbage he is. So what do you cats want to do, man? Chant Hare Krishna and the guy's going to go away?
Yeah, you talk about turning him into an apple.
Yeah, and I was kidding, too. Wow.
Oh, man, are you kidding me?
I'm just joking.
Yeah, sure. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show with more on Kony and your mama. The world-famous Phil Henry show.
Yeah, hashtag mama.
Hashtag mama.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back here on number 877-876-PHIL, although it is our news and information hour, and rolling on Phil TV and HD right now is not the Kony video that was created by Jason Russell. That's the name of the filmmaker. It is actually a news story on ITV covering the film made by Jason Russell called Invisible Children and what's going on around this thing. And, you know, I got to tell you, this was an ITN thing, so...
What's that?
ITN is just it's a British a TV production company, television network. Nonetheless, so, okay, so that's what's happening. It's a cause among many, and there are certainly many in this world. This one is pretty brutal. And this is a guy that has gotten everybody's attention by way of a very, very good film that he did. And the bigger issue is the idea that children are separated from families for years and years and years, kidnapped for years and years and years by a warlord, essentially, in Africa. Now, people ask, how the hell can that stuff happen? This is the post-colonial world. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you take away the colonial constraints and the colonial administration that was in existence for hundreds of years in places like Africa and the Middle East, and the people revert to tribal instinct or cultural instinct that was that originated in that part of the world. They no longer have the Western or European way of doing things clamped on top of them. They now have they are now left to the instinctive things that they would have done had they been, you know, allowed to create their own world. But it's been many, many years, and many of those traditions are either lost or they've been warped. Many of them have been destroyed completely. You know, I've often used the comparison of locking a kid in a closet for 10 years and then opening the closet and saying, okay, go ahead, you're free now. I mean, only an imbecile would think that that kid has got a fighting chance going to the bathroom, let alone doing anything else. Well, it's not too far different when you take away from a country or a people the way they do things and you say, well, this is how it's going to be done instead. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. And boom, 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 beam, beam, beam. That's this and that's that. And the next thing you know, wars break out. And the, you know, the thing that, that broke down the Ottoman Empire was World War One. And the thing that broke down the British control of the Middle East was World War Two. See?
What do you mean?
What I mean is, World War One destroyed the Turkish Ottoman Empire. That was a 400-year-old entity. That was a Muslim caliphate. It was what Osama bin Laden wanted to bring back. I mean, these guys are mental, but nonetheless, World War One, that was the end of the Ottoman Empire. It broke into tiny pieces. The Arab states, the Arab people who'd been promised statehood by the British, of course, that wasn't going to happen. The British took over administration of the majority of the Middle East. And then along came World War II. And that was Germany down there talking to the Arabs and saying, well, now you don't need these Brits, baby. We can do the whole thing for you. That Grand Mufti dude. You remember that guy we saw on TV?
Yeah, that guy, he's a Nazi.
That Grand Mufti bastard from Jerusalem, he went up and broke bread with Hitler. Or whatever it is that Hitler breaks.
Breaks a lot of people's, breaks people's heads.
Well, he should have busted the Grand Mufti's head while he was on the subject. Nonetheless, when that whole thing went down, then the British Empire, that was the end of the British. The World War II was the end of the British. It was the end of their empire. It was the end of their administration of the Middle East and what was left. Now you got all these little states, Syria and Iraq and Iran and Erib and everything. And you've got Saudi Arabia and the whatever the hell, the Emirates, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and a new player on the scene, Israel. And that, of course, as you know, was welcomed with open arms down there in the Middle East, not. Well, the same thing in Africa. And that was sort of took a different course. World War One and World War Two. While they, while the principals fought it out in Africa over who gets what, the fact is that things didn't really begin to break down in Africa until the 50s and 60s. And suddenly these states, which were at one time called the Belgian Congo, the Spanish Sahara, and crap like that, now these are free countries, and now these are people that are trying to pull it together. And the African people, like the people of the Middle East, they got their way of doing things. They were tribal. They're not national. They're tribal. It's a different way of organizing a society. It happened to be their way. And it was the way they did it because it was the geography they lived in. It was the climate they lived in, the environment they lived in. That was the best way to do it. So they weren't marking off territory by way of hard and fast boundaries. They were saying, that's yours there, this is mine here, you come over here, you get permission from me, I go here, you go there. Same thing with, like, Indians.
Yeah, with the Indians, they would go anywhere.
No, they didn't, man. That scalped if you went in the wrong place.
Well, I don't know, man, but they didn't have, like, they didn't draw up some freaking boundary that said this is the Indian land.
Yeah, it was all Indian land.
But you know what I'm saying, though, these different tribes. So it was only in Europe and other places where the tribal was secondary to the larger national interest. Why? Why?
I don't know. Probably because they had more stuff.
They had more stuff. It's exactly right. They had more stuff. Not only did they have more stuff, they needed a bigger bureaucracy, they needed bigger armies to defend it, and suddenly it was no longer workable to say, well, this is my tribe, that's your tribe. No, to hell with that. Let's band our tribes together and form a nation. That's what they did in Europe. And they only did that in Europe and in other places because they had this abundance of they had a lot of interest to protect, and it wasn't just tribal interest. They had banded together with this tribe and that tribe and this tribe till the next thing you know, they had a nation. And so things evolved differently. And when Europe decided, let's take our national model and stick it on a bunch of people that are tribal, stuff goes wrong, baby. It goes real wrong. Real wrong.
I seen that Lawrence of Arabia one time. He put on that headdress, went down there and said, do you remember seeing that?
Yeah, he said, the Arab people are little people.
Yeah, he said, the Arab people are little people.
I don't know, man. What are you talking about? Lawrence of Arabia?
Yeah.
Well, that guy, he was in the British Secret Service, this guy Lawrence, and he went down there and he told the Arabs a whole bunch of horse dung so they would fight on the side of the British to fight the Turks. Okay?
Is that what they were doing?
Yes, that's what they were doing. He put on the headdress, he did the whole thing, and he made himself an Arab, and he spoke Arabic, and he broke bread with the Arabs, and he talked to them as if they were his brothers and his equals, and he did like the Arab people, and he did appreciate them, and he did fight for them, and he went into battle with them. But he knew, Lawrence knew all along what was going on. He was working on behalf of the British, and once the British were able to defeat the Turks with the help of the Arabs, the Arabs weren't going to get diddly squat. They were going to be under the thumb of the British, and that's exactly what happened. So, you know, talk about blowback. You know, I love people talking about blowback as if they know what it really is. They think American blowback is bad. We're still eating dirt for all of that stuff. All right, so there's that. Now we have this series of primaries yesterday that was called Super Tuesday. Yeah, I'll bet it was, man.
Yeah, Romney kicked ass.
No, he didn't kick ass. Although he did win Ohio. I was watching CNN when we were out working last night, and CNN had those numbers from Ohio, man. Very impressive. They had on the board Santorum leads, but I heard Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer. I'm kidding, Blitzer. In any event, the two of them were jumping up and down and slapping their hands together and saying, guess what? Those numbers are not real. And I remember thinking, okay, well, then put the real ones up there.
Yeah, they couldn't do it, though, but they didn't have no permission.
Yeah, they got to get permission from the Secretary of Ohio.
I know that, but I just wish that they would have been clear. All right, Romney says he's on track to get a nominating majority before convention, rivals undeterred. Well, Romney's right. And I'm sure the rivals are undeterred. His delegate lead growing, Mitt Romney gently nudged his Republican opponents toward the sidelines on Wednesday and said he was on track to wrap up the presidential nomination before the party convention next summer. Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich paid him no mind, vying to fight on in a campaign marked by persistent ideological divisions. And I wonder if they understand, you know, Newt Gingrich, to me, I think the whole thing's a freaking game for this guy. I think he's real proud of wearing his conservative credentials, whatever the hell they are. Santorum, too, and they feel it's really important, and they think it means something. It doesn't, yes, it does. It means this. It means that you are the representative of the conservative movement in America, the conservative thinkers, the conservative voters, if you will, a new conservative party. I keep thinking that that's what they got to do. Bust away from these Republicans, you know.
Yeah, then they're dead meat.
They may be dead meat, but as long as these clowns hang around in the Republican Party, what happens is the following. This ideological divide, in a year when the Republicans should be lockstep, man, against, you know, everything they've said about Obama being a screw-up, being the worst thing that ever happened, being a disaster, everything that they have been hyping, they should be lockstep agreed on and ready to attack come November. Instead, these guys are still playing you-know-what.
Yeah, they're playing grab-it, there's no doubt.
They're playing grab-ass, man, all the way on up to the convention.
That's what that was it, grab-ass. They're playing grab-ass, grab-ass, all the way up to the convention. And somehow, Gingrich and Santorum, they think that this is really, you know, I can understand if you're a conservative, and I can understand that you want to be loyal to that philosophy and to your voters. I get that, but please don't pretend, unless you're stupid, please don't pretend that this is somehow really going to be great when what? When what happens? What do you think is going to happen, man? You're going to, let's say you get nominated. Now you're going to go out into the general election and you're going to test the theory that a conservative candidate is what the American voter wants. And you're going to lose again. You're going to lose again. Americans are conservative in some areas, but what we have found is that Americans are more pragmatic than anything else. They want what works. And sometimes what works isn't necessarily the conservative way of doing things. You know, you don't have to believe me. You watch what happens.
Yeah, you've been wrong before.
I know.
You were wrong about Rush Limbaugh apologize, and you were wrong about Giuliani.
Giuliani, huh? Boy, you guys...
No, but Giuliani.
I know, but I'm... So what if I was wrong? I'm telling you right now, I ain't going to be wrong here. I won't be wrong here. They put Santorum or Gingrich up on that ticket, and they're dead. All right, the world famous Phil Henry Show will be coming back here in just a moment. Oh, I want to get you guys oriented toward the LA Animation Festival coming up this weekend. I'm going to be there on a panel with Darren Norris, one of our actors in Team America. It's going to be a blast, and I hope you guys come out for it. It'll be in Los Angeles. I'll give you the locale, and it's this weekend. We'll be there Saturday night. The L.A. Animation Festival. We'll tell you about it in just a moment here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here in our News and Information Hour. And I'm just trying to get up on our video computer, the LA Animation Festival website. You guys can head over there on your little computer, your little laptop. I don't know what you have there. Here, we found it. I'll give it to you. I'll give you a look at the site, at least, so you can see what's going on. That's a pretty good site. Here is, as you can see, the Animation Festival is at the Regent Showcase. It's going to be 614 La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles. And I believe it's, yes, here, March 7th through the 11th. So today, technically, it started yesterday and or last night, perhaps, and extends all the way through Sunday. You see there is the trailer for Team America, if you see that picture. So I'm going to be there, and there's also an opening night meet Shrek. Look at that. So there's a whole thing on Shrek. Let me show you. There's my picture there with Phil Henry and the movie's puppeteers on stage before the screening. But I really do appreciate them giving me that little picture there. But I'm excited to see again a great guy, Darren Norris, who was the voice of Spotswood. And there you see a little picture of Matt Stone and Trey Parker there with the puppets. It says here that there's going to be the puppeteers from the movie are going to be there. Now, that ought to be something, man. How the hell do you, what is that about? I remember hearing when we were doing that movie, I walked into that set. And I remember Trey Parker and Matt Stone both were there that day, and they showed me into this studio where they had the different puppet sets. And it was almost like you were in a really cool place where the greatest, like, train sets in the world and the greatest cool toy things were happening. Because the set, if you remember seeing Team America, the set for the desert, the Jeep that was racing through the desert with the terrorist in it, that was like some... a big train set. It was laid out on on a huge stage, everything to scale, and but you were standing over it. And that little Jeep was on a track, and there were little fake mountains, and the whole thing was like, wow, you know, if I had this in my garage, I would revert. I would never, you know, come out. Then they had the Eiffel Tower, and if you remember the movie, the Eiffel Tower got blown up and fell over. Well, they had, it was almost three versions of the Eiffel Tower. They had the ground-level version of the Eiffel Tower when it's towering over you, or where they could put the camera down at the base of the Eiffel Tower and make it look like it was huge. Then they had an aerial view Eiffel Tower, which was smaller, and then they had an even higher aerial view of the Eiffel Tower, which is smaller still. And all of these built to scale for these different scenes. They had the Mount Rush, if you remember, Team America's headquarters was was in Mount Rushmore. That's where the Michael Moore character was.
That's Michael Moore got blown up. You know, he was eating hot dogs.
Exactly, yeah. The Michael Moore character got blown up. The Michael Moore puppet got blown up eating his hot dogs. But they had the Mount Rushmore set as Mount Rushmore from the outside. Then they had the larger in the interior of the Mount Rushmore headquarters of Team America. And so on and on it went. And it just so happened the day that I was there, they were filming the Korean puppet scene. And I was there for lunch. I mean, I showed up just to see the set because then we did voiceover for the characters, and that was in another studio that was about, I don't know, it was not more than 100 yards away from the main studio where they were actually doing the filming, and then we'd go over to voiceover. But the day I was there, they were doing the Korean puppets, and I remember seeing the puppets as puppets will look when they don't have anybody handling them. They're just, like, slumped over, unless, of course, they're, you know...
You're going to say something dirty.
No, I'm not. So they said, those guys said, Trey Parker, Matt Stone, they said, this is the last puppet movie we ever do. And I said, well, it's the only puppet movie you guys have done. But they said it was the hardest thing in the world to do. It was just the hardest thing. And you got to keep in mind, you know, you commit to this, you got to do it, man, because you got a studio now waiting for you to deliver a movie. And you better do it. So it was just a bitch, man, to do this flick that they thought, as we all did, would probably be a relatively simple thing to do. Because it was based on all those cornball, and a lot of you are too young to remember, but when I was a kid, we had a few of these cornball puppet shows on Saturday mornings. One of them was Supercar, but that wasn't the only one. There was the Thunderbirds, and there was Fireball XL5, I think, and... all puppet based, and as the guy said, and it's very true, and it's a comedy maxim: puppets doing serious things are funny. Puppets doing funny things are not funny. So if you have a puppet trying to be funny, it's not funny unless you've got an audience of 5-year-olds. But if you have puppets trying to do karate moves and machine gunning each other, that's hysterical, and that's exactly what Team America is about. So. If you guys can be out with us on Saturday night, it's at 11:30 at night. It'll start at 11:30 p.m. I'll be there along with Darren Norris, who is the voice of Spotswood. And I voiced the computer intelligence as well as the main terrorist there as they were racing through the, you know, desert. So we'll be there. I think there's going to be a Q&A. The puppeteers are going to be there. And they've promised a special guest who I don't know. I swear I don't know who it is. So, and then there will be a screening, I think, of the movie. I don't want to speak too soon, but I believe there will be. Okay. World Famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and by Dan Northcraft. Join us, won't you please, on our website for our video casts. Each and every night that we do a radio cast, we also have the video cast. And, of course, our new KFI archives are up on our homepage. Just go to Fresh Phil and click that tab, and then you'll see KFI. Those are the video casts as well as the audio. They're all download. The audio is a download. Right now, it's the full audio, and we'll get to the cleaned-up podcast later.
Phil Hendry.
Later and greater.